shepherd stands and gazes at the people down below. The multitudes throughout the land stagger underneath their heavy load, and in the stillness of the hillside, through the tears, the shepherd makes a vow that no one hears.
Even if you'll never love me, I will still love you. I have searched the whole world over just to be with you. I will climb the highest mountain, even one called Calvary. I'll go all the way, all the way for you. Even if you'll never love me, I will still love you.
High on a hill, the shepherd sits and gazes at the people down to go.
And in the stillness of the hillside, through the tears, the shepherd makes a vow that no one hears. Even if you'll never love me, I will still.
Shepherd hangs and gazes at the people down below. A blood-stained brow, nail-pierced hands, but it's a broken heart that hurts the shepherd most.
And in the stillness of the through the tears, the shepherd makes a vow that no one hears. Even if you'll never love me, I will still love you. I have searched the whole world over just to be with you. I have climbed the highest mountain, even one called Calvary. I went all the way, all the way for you. Even if you'll never love me,
so
when in sin I sank so very low, I did every wrong I could.
very sobering song. A lot of truth. I'm glad that Jesus loved me when I didn't love Him back. And I'm glad He still loves me when I don't love Him as I should sometimes. We opened the service this morning in Sunday school talking about Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It seems to be a running theme through the service. If you're here today and you question the fact that God loves you, maybe it's because of who you are or what you've done, or I don't know. I pray that God's Holy Spirit and the preaching of His Word would convince you this morning that He loves you. He loves you. And because He loves you, the Bible says that He will wash you. Actually, the Bible says that He washes us from our sins in His own blood because He loves us. And I'm thankful for that, aren't you? Amen. You have your Bible open to Hebrews chapter number 5, and we come to a very interesting passage of Scripture. I thought we were going to get a little further, but as I continue studying, I want to just stop at verse number 3. I feel that's where the Lord would have us to stop, because we'll tackle some things in the other Scriptures that we're going to look at. As we get into chapter number 6, some very difficult passages of Scripture where there's a lot of, there's a varying thoughts, and I just want to give you what God's given me. And if you want to search it out, then that's fine. I disagree with people. People disagree with me on some things in the Scripture. And as long as it's not on some of the fundamentals of the faith, we can still be brethren, still love one another and fellowship, you know. Now, I will say this. The virgin birth of Jesus is non-negotiable. Amen. The shed blood of Jesus Christ is non-negotiable. That's not up for debate. The plenary verbal inspiration of the Bible, you see, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about some things that we'll get into as we continue to navigate our way through the book of Hebrews. Now, if you were here Wednesday night, or if you were not and you listened by way of live stream, or you went back and listened to it, you know that we ended with verse number 10. Verse number 10, the apostle mentions this character, and from this, he's going to get into this next section of Scripture. As a matter of fact, the next few chapters of the Bible is going to of the book of Hebrews is going to deal with this individual. His name is Melchizedek, and he is a mystery character in the Bible. Here, the apostle says this. He said, when he mentioned him in verse number 10, and I want to bring you up to where we are, all right, as we go through the book of Hebrews, he's going along and he's saying, I want you to know that you have this great high priest. And he begins to compare the earthly high priesthood with the heavenly high priesthood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The earthly high priesthood was through the tribe of Levi, through the person of Aaron. But the heavenly high priesthood is one priest. He's the great high priest who is the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And he's showing these Jewish believers that Jesus is superior. You have to keep that in mind. He's not only superior in His person, but He's superior in His priesthood. And so he's dealing with that. And then in order to show that, he said, well, it's like the fact that he's a priest after the order of Melchizedek. And then he stops and he says, of whom, and this is where we picked up our reading today in verse number 11, of whom, meaning Melchizedek, we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. He said, there's some things I want to tell you about this individual. Now, if you haven't read, you can go back into Genesis 14 and you'll see where this individual is introduced to us. After Abraham had completed the slaughter of the kings and after he had rescued Lot, en route back, he met this man. He met the king of Salem and the priest of the Most High God, Melchizedek. As actually he paid tithes to him. And the Scripture has some things to say about this man. But the apostle here says, I'd like to say it to these of you who were Jewish believers. You should be to a place where I could talk to you about this. He said, but I realize there's a little problem. And he uses this example to again give what's called an exhortation passage or a warning passage. And he said, I want to talk to you about your need. And so this is what he does in verse number 11. He says, of whom, meaning Melchizedek, we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. And here's why. Seeing, you are dull of hearing. Now, this is a tremendous statement. I want you to stay with me just for a moment because we're going to delve into this just a little bit. All right? What is being said here? What is the apostle saying? He said, I want to discuss some deeper things in the Scripture with you. But I don't feel like I can because you've gotten to a place in your experience, your Christian experience, to where you've become dull of hearing. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. What does it mean to be dull of hearing? He says you've lost your excitement. That phase of the new birth has gotten to a place where it's lost its enthusiasm. You've lost the thrill. You've lost the hunger. You've lost the thirsting for the truths of God. The Word of God no longer has an appeal to you. The things of God, spiritual things, no longer appeal to you. And he said, because of that, you've lost something. Now, this is not the first time that the apostle brings this up. Notice back, if you would, because this is key to the book of Hebrews. You must remember, this is what's being taught. God has spoken. And because God has spoken, you need to hear what he has said. And because God has spoken and you need to hear what he has said, you need to understand that what he has to say is about his son, Jesus Christ. He is superior to everything you could imagine. In your religious way, in your background, in your past, Jesus is superior. And so he said you need to listen. Listening is a problem for many people. Listening is a problem. Hearing what God has said, keeping the excitement, the enthusiasm that God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for my life. And sometimes we hear things and we hear them over and over and we say, well, you know, I know that. Well, that doesn't mean half of what we need to do, because knowing something is just half of it. See, Paul said, you need to do it. What are you doing? You have become unskillful. Notice what he said back in chapter number 5. He said in verse number, chapter 5, look at verse number 13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful. You become unskillful. You are not applying. You're not taking what you have heard. You're not taking what you have learned and put it into practice into your life. If all you are doing is gathering more and more and more knowledge, but not putting it into practice, then the poor become poor. That's what the Bible teaches. Listen to me. The poor become poor. The rich become richer in what God has for our lives spiritually. The Bible teaches that God will take from those that are not doing anything with what he's given them, and he'll give it to them that are doing something with what he's given them. Now, the world calls that the rich get richer and the poor get poor. But Jesus said, there is a reason that I teach you. It's because I have a purpose for your life. And the only way you're going to realize that purpose is to follow my instruction. But you have to hear it right. You have to hear it right. Look, if you would, in chapter number 2 of the book of Hebrews. He said, God has spoken. And he said, because God has spoken, it means something the way you hear. Look at chapter 2 and verse number 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. In other words, we can't continue to sit under preaching and teaching. We can't continue to listen to it, to read God's word, and just dismiss it and not do what it says. You say, well, now, preacher, do you believe in sinless perfection? Absolutely not. But I do believe that we need to be growing in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to be progressing in our Christian experience. Again, look back down at the Scripture. Look, if you would, in verse number 2 of chapter 2. For if the word spoken, he said, God speaking, you're hearing what God has said. You need to be listening. Look at verse number 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? He says it again. For it at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him. He's saying you need to be listening. You need to be hearing God's word. Go over to chapter 3, and he mentions it again in verse number 7. He says, today, if you will what? Hear. You need to hear. You need to listen. You need to take what you hear and put it into practice. It's not just gathering knowledge so you can say, I know more. It's gathering knowledge so you can do more of what you know. Amen? Look, if you would, again in verse number 15. He says it again of chapter 3. Today, if you will hear His voice. Today, hear Him. Hear Him. And then you get over into chapter number 5, and He says, I've got some things I want to say. He said, but you become dull of hearing. You've lost the excitement and the enthusiasm of the revelation of God's Word. Now, brethren, it can happen. It happens to all of us. I don't know who I was talking to last week, but someone was asking me about something. Did you hear thus and thus? And I said, well, you know, I don't know. I have this problem, and here's a problem that I have. When someone begins to tell me something that I already know, many times I will, in my mind, begin to finish or to take that somewhere else instead of listen to the rest of what they're going to say. It's almost like when someone is quoting a verse of Scripture, instead of me keeping my eyes, when they're reading that verse of Scripture that I know, I'll take my eyes off of that Scripture and begin just to say, well, I know what that says. I'm sorry to report to you, but there's times that I've been reading my Bible and I've come to a very familiar passage of Scripture that I have memorized, and I'll just kind of skim through it. Hey, it's the Word of God. Amen. It's God's Word. You see, we begin to lose something when we get to that place. Familiarity can breed contempt to where we get to a place where we say, well, I know that. Well, God doesn't tell us things just so we can know it. God tells us things so we can know it and then practice it. And then that's not all. We can know it, we can practice it, and we can share it. And that's what the apostle's getting to. Let me show you what I'm talking about. We're going to turn to a couple of verses of Scripture, then we'll finish up here. Turn, if you would, to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 13. Jesus said, you know, this thing of hearing, in Matthew 13, I haven't counted recently, but I think I counted some time ago. I think the word hear or hearing is mentioned 17 times in Matthew chapter 13. Hearing's important. You know why? Because Romans 10:17 says, so then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. See, our faith is going to be increased as we take in, as we digest, as we appropriate the Word of God. Jesus, speaking here in Matthew 13, begins to give some parables. In verse number 9, He says this, Matthew 13, verse number 9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, what is Jesus saying? I want you to write this down. He's saying, you take heed that you hear. You need to be listening with your spiritual ears to what God is saying. You see, when we sit in a church service, when we sit down to read the Bible, I've said this many times before, our minds will begin to wander. And the old enemy will come, and he'll say, you know what? I think you may have left the crock pot on. Or I think that this is going on. Or this is, and he'll try to get our minds off of the hearing of the Word of God. And Jesus said, you take heed that you hear the Word of God. Hear it. Then turn over, if you would, to Mark chapter 4. Notice what Jesus said here. It's very interesting how he changes it somewhat. And he says, don't just take heed that you hear it. But this is something that we really need to give attention to in Mark chapter 4. He said, not only should you take heed that you hear, but look in chapter 4 of Mark in verse 24. Jesus said in Mark 4, verse 24, He said unto them, take heed, look at that next word, what you hear. You make sure what you hear is God's Word and not some man's opinion, not some doctrine of man. Amen? Now, why am I saying this? Because when we go back to Hebrews in just a moment, we're going to see where the apostle said, you know, you're on milk. You're on milk. You need to be on meat, but you're on milk. In other words, he's saying, you're like a little babe. You know what little babes put in their mouth? That's right. Anything. Anything. Everything. You can't just put anything and everything in your mouth as it is the Word of God and expect to be right doctrinally. You have to prove the Word of God. And Jesus said, don't you only be careful that you hear, but you be careful and take heed to what you hear. You just don't listen to anything. I've had people come to me and it shocked me. Yeah, people, I was listening to Joel Osteen. I don't listen to Joel Osteen. Joyce Meyer said, I don't listen to Joyce Meyer. John Hagee said, I don't listen to John Hagee. Hey, now wait a minute. I like John Hagee. We can disagree and still be friends, but I'm telling you, you take heed what you hear. It's important. It's important. Jesus said you need a steady diet of the unadulterated, pure Word of God. It doesn't matter if it's coming from this pulpit or this preacher. We need to make sure that it's not an opinion of man. It's not some denominational doctrine or theory or dogma. That it is thus saith the Lord. That's what we build our Christian life on. What God said and not what man said. And so he said, you be careful what you hear. The first thing he said, you be careful that you hear. Now, why is Jesus doing this? He said, because you're going to answer for it one day. He said, everything that's written in this book, you listen to me now, brethren. Everything that's written in this book, we're going to all stand before the judgment seat of Christ as believers, and we're going to give an account to God one day. You say, well, now, preacher, I don't know as much as other people. How have your opportunities been? What are we doing with the opportunities that God has given us? God gives us opportunities. God gives us resources. And this is going to come back to, I'm getting to a point in Hebrews 5. Turn over, if you would, to Luke just for a moment. Turn there, if you would, into the book of Luke, chapter 8. Luke chapter number 8, and this will be the final time before we'll look in one more place and then get back into Hebrews chapter 5. So Jesus said this. He said in Matthew, he said, you be careful that you hear. Now take heed. Put yourself under the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. And then he said, not only that, but you take heed what you hear. Not everyone that has a Bible and they're looking down at it and saying something, that doesn't mean they're preaching the Bible. Amen. Be careful. Be careful. Jesus said in the last days, many false prophets would come and they would deceive many. As a matter of fact, he said the very elect would be deceived if it wasn't for God intervening. So we have to be careful, right? Especially with the little children of the faith. Many of you have little babies. You know what little babies, how they do. They'll put anything in their mouth. Anything. And we have to be careful about this. And I'm warning those of you that are new in the faith. If you're uncertain about something, you get with someone who is a good Christian, who is mature in the faith, that you can learn from and grow from and say, hey, I've been looking at this or I've been reading this. Can you give me some insight on this? You say, Pastor, you're trying to say that I should ask somebody what I should read? Basically, yeah. I sure am. You be careful. You see, I wasn't too proud to do that when I was a babe in the faith. I wasn't too proud to ask somebody, hey, I've been looking at this author, I've been looking at this, and I'd like to know what you can tell me about him. You never know, brethren. Listen, a person, don't you think, well, I'll know right off. Some folks, they're good. They mix a lot of truth with a little lie to get to where they want to get with you. Say amen with me now. Now, many of you that have been saved for a while, you know what I'm saying so. Look in chapter 8 of Luke, and this is what we're going to discuss a little bit today. Not that we hear. Obviously, you're concerned about that. You're here today. You want to hear what God has to say. Not only what we hear. I tell you every time, and we'll continue to do it, not going to change by the grace of God. When you come to Fellowship Baptist Church, bring your Bible. You're going to need the Bible. We're not going to preach out of a song book. Might refer to a couple of songs, but we're not preaching out of a song book. We're not preaching out of some periodical. Amen. We're not going through some kind of book that some man wrote. We're going to open up this Bible and preach what thus saith the Lord. Line upon line and precept upon precept. Look, if you would, in Luke chapter 8. Look at verse 18. Jesus said this. Take heed, therefore. Look at that next word. What is it? How? So here's three things that Jesus said about the Word of God that we need to take careful heed to and we need to give close attention to. He said in Matthew 13, you be careful that you hear. Put yourself under the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God so you can grow as a newborn babe in Christ. You need to desire the sincere milk of the Word. Get under the Word and get under preaching and teaching. Amen. Number two, you need to take heed not just that you hear, but what you hear. Make sure it's the Bible. Now, I don't know a man that's ever preached outside Jesus Christ that didn't preach a little bit of his opinion. But learn what it is to separate. And I try by the grace of God to let you know. Now, this is not what the Bible says. This is my position on it when I come to a place like that in the Scripture. Be honest with the Bible. We need to understand that all of us will have a different take on some things, but stick with the purity of the Bible. What saith the Scriptures? There's times when people want to argue with me. You say, not you, preacher. Oh, yeah. They want to argue with me. They want to argue with you. What do you think about this? What do you think about that? My answer to them is Romans chapter 4. What saith the Scriptures? Amen? What's the Bible say? Preacher, what do you think about this? You know, I don't know that it would really matter what I think about it. Really? Not if it's a biblical situation. What really matters is what does God say about it? Isn't that right, brethren? What does God say? But I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of folks that don't want to know what God says about it. I want to know what God says, and I believe you want to know what God says. But don't you think that every person that goes to a place like this, a building like this with a cross out front, carrying a book with a black binding on it, is a Christian and wants to know what God says? That's not always the case. We find that out a lot. And I'm not trying to infiltrate politics in here, but we find that out a lot around November. Not everybody's concerned about what God says. Some people will go directly against what God says and go to the voting booth. You can say amen. You say, well, now, preacher, now, you know, this candidate and that candidate, sometimes, and I'm sad to say this, but we've come to this place in our country, sometimes you just have to choose between the lesser of two evils. But make sure you choose. Make sure you choose. Well, Nina, I've had them tell me, well, you know, your candidate's not all this and all that. Well, I'm going to make a choice. I'm going to exercise not only my civil right, by the grace of God, I'm going to exercise my sacred right. I'm going to do that, and I pray you will as well. So now let's take heed. I want to turn one more scripture, and then we'll finish up in Hebrews. Turn, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. One of the things that we have to be careful of, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul wrote into those believers in Thessalonica, and he said, you know, he said, there's something I really like about you, and that is, when you receive the Word of God, you didn't receive it as it was of a word of a man, but you received it as it was in truth, the very Word of God. Brethren, what I'm preaching to you this morning is the very Word of God. It's God's Word. I have shown you from the Bible that Jesus himself said you need to take heed that you hear the Word of God. And you need to take heed what you hear as you hear the Word of God. And you need to take heed how you hear. That means don't be relaxed. Don't be laying back in your chair, dozing off to sleep. Now listen to me. I'm telling you what the Bible said. I'm telling you what Jesus said. Don't let your mind wander into 1,000 different places. Because so much is given, much is required. When a man stands week after week, when he stands Sunday after Sunday, Sunday evening after Sunday evening, Wednesday after Wednesday, when you sit under the preaching of the Word of God, when you open up the Bible and you read the Bible, when God gives you truth, when God reveals His Word to you, when God reveals His Word to me, God says, now you're going to answer for it. You're going to give an account for what you've heard. You can't claim ignorance any longer. Amen. Say, well, I'll just come to church and I'll just sit there and put on a front and I'll go out and live any way I want. God said, well, now listen, you may have that mindset, but know one thing, you've heard the truth and now you're going to give an account for it in your life. All of us are. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, look if you would in verse number 13. 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 13, for this cause also we thank God without ceasing. Because when you received, see, that's how we should hear. When you received the Word of God, which ye heard of us, they were listening with receiving ears. Feed me, Lord. Feed me the Word of God. Feed me the truth of the Scripture. They receive the Word of God, which you heard of us. You received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. What a statement. As we go back now and close in Hebrews, I've got a few things to say about this passage of Scripture now that I've laid a foundation. Hebrews chapter 5. The apostle said, I want to talk to you about Melchizedek, this high priest. He said, but you know, I can't do it. And he said, here's why I can't do it. Because you've gotten to a place to where you can't take some things because you're not receiving the Word of God. You're not putting it into practice. You're not growing up. And so I constantly have to do something. We're going to see what that is in just a moment. And all of my time is having to do something. And we'll look at that word here in just a moment. Let's look at the Scriptures. Verse 11 again. Of whom, that goes back to verse number 10, Melchizedek, we have many things to say and hard to be uttered. Hard to be uttered. Not that it was over his head, but he said, because it's over your head. I can't say it because I want you to know what I'm saying. I want you to grasp it. I want you to understand it. Seeing, you're dull of hearing. You've lost the edge. You've lost the thrill. You've lost the excitement of the Word of God. Remember when you first got saved? Remember when you brought that little baby home? And mama began to nurse, or you began to warm a bottle, how that little baby, I mean, man, they latch onto that. Listen, and they take and they take. And because, you know why? Because it's their second nature to do that. Peter said it was for every Christian, too. You won't have to force that little baby to take a bottle. Amen? Boy, I'm telling you, they desire it. They desire it. And here the apostle saying, there comes a time in our lives, if we're not careful, we'll become dull of that desire. That desire, it'll become dull, and we'll lose the thrill, the enthusiasm, the excitement about spiritual things. We'd rather talk about weather than God. We'd rather talk about COVID than Christ. Amen. We'd rather talk about the fear instead of the one who can cast out all fear. You see, we'd rather talk about the physical and the material and not the spiritual. I'm not saying that any of those things that I just mentioned, that they shouldn't be carried on in conversation, but God knows and you know and we know that we need to be talking about the spiritual more. We're living in a time of spiritual drought where we need to bring up spiritual things. Let's look on what he said in verse number 12. For when the time ye ought to be teachers, you ought to be sharing. You know what teachers do? They share what they know. Now listen carefully to what he's saying. He's not saying that you ought to be some theologian. Don't read into it something he's not saying. Let's look at what the Bible says and not what we try to read into what it says. He didn't say you ought to be some kind of spiritual giant. He's not saying you ought to be some kind of college professor teaching the Bible, some type of theologian. He said, but you ought to be sharing some truth that God has given to you. You ought to be sharing with others. But you're not teachers. You remain a pupil. You know what pupils do? It's all about them. It's all about them. Teachers make it about others. Thank God for teachers. Amen. Thank God for teachers. Teachers make it about other people. Teachers make it about the other person. I am going to instill in you what has been instilled in me. I'm going to share with you. You know one of the hardest things to teach a child? You know where I'm going with this, right? It almost makes you sick. Share, Johnny. Share. I guess I'm tired of hearing that. Share. 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 Yeah, just on and on. It's hard to get a child to share. Isn't it? Isn't it, parents? Some of you didn't know what to say because you've grown up and you still don't like to share. Amen. You never got it. Hey, listen to me. One of the hardest things there's two hard things, and they're discussed right here in this passage of Scripture for children. Number one, be careful what you put in your mouth. Be careful what you take in. Amen. Be careful what you hear. Number two, you need to be sharing. There comes a time in your Christian life where it's got to quit being about you. It's got to quit being about you. We've got to make it about others. I told you this morning as we opened up our Sunday school hour, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. I'm so glad that God tells us over and over and over again that He loves me. Thank God for that. But can I tell you, some folks never read the Bible. We are written epistles, known and read in men's hearts. We need to be telling people that Jesus loves them. We need to be sharing what we have been shared with. We need to be sharing it with others. That's what He's saying. You need to be sharing. You need to be teachers. You say, preacher, you sound like we don't share anything. Well, this is a warning. I'm not saying you don't. I'm just saying all of us need to be doing this. I'm not preaching down to you. I'm preaching you what God said. As a matter of fact, if you just for a moment, we'll skip over to verse number 9. This is where I stand with you as your pastor. Chapter 6, verse 9, look at it. But beloved, we are persuaded better things of you and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. I thank God for people at Fellowship Baptist Church that want to hear the Bible. Wouldn't have it any other way. If a man got up in this pulpit and started preaching outside the Bible, if I was away or not here, I believe that there'd be enough of good men in this church say, That's not going to fly here. Amen. We need you to stay in your lane, bro. Stay in the book. Stay in the Bible. Amen. Oh, well, preacher, we couldn't do that. You better do it. You'll end up shipwrecked somewhere as a church. Amen. There's just some things that are non-negotiable. And I pray to God that we would get it down. Number one, let me give you three words and I'll be through. Number one, position. My position is that the Bible is the Word of God and that Jesus is the only way. I know in this postmodern culture that we live in, folks say, well, you know, you ought to be able to worship Buddha and you ought to be able to worship Islam and Muhammad and Confucius. I'm for the First Amendment, so I say I respect your right to worship your God. However, I want to tell you that Jesus is the only way. I will be tolerant in saying that I respect your right to worship your God, and if you don't want to have a God and you want to be an atheist, whatever that is, if that's what you want to be, then that is your right. But I do want to tell you that every man that comes into this world, man, woman, boy, and girl, comes into this world a sinner, separated from God. And if you die in that sin, you will go to hell without Jesus, and you will be there for eternity. And the only way you can know what it is to have forgiveness of sin is through Jesus Christ, my Lord. That's my position. Well, preacher, you ought to be more tolerant. I am tolerant. I told you I respect the First Amendment right that people can worship their own God. However, I am not tolerant, and I'm going to say, well, now, you could be right and I could be right. We're just taking two separate ways or two separate roads. There's only one way, brethren. Only one way. Sticking with it. Not going to change. Amen. Amen. See, the world wants to make us, they want to scream us down and back us in a corner and make us accept their religious liberal agenda. Not going to do it by the grace of God. By the way, while I'm on that, you pray for the churches out in California. I hope you're following this situation. It's getting serious, brethren. It's getting serious. I've seen where Jack Treiber and the folks there in California, they've put a cease and desist sign on the front door. It's getting serious now. We have a liberal governor. You say, well, now, preacher, the big brother's listening. Big brother already knows what I think about this. They've been listening to me. They know what I think. We have a liberal governor, and he's out to do the same thing. But by the grace of God, we're not shutting it down. Amen. We're moving on. Amen. Moving on. We bow not to Caesar. We bow to Christ. Amen. He's the head of the church. Amen. Amen. And, preacher, we might get in a little trouble that way. Well, listen, I hope to God when we get to heaven, while the martyrs are talking about all that they suffer for Jesus, that we're not talking about a little bit of persecution from our governor now.
Amen. While folks talked about being crucified upside down, dragged through the city, beat with Porter's club, exiled to the Isle of Patmos, bowled in hot oil, they were not saying, well, you know, one time old Governor Northam told us to shut the doors at the church and we just quit on God. Hey, that's not what we're here for. Amen. Amen. Staying true to this book. Amen. Well, what's going on, preacher? Well, you sent enough of them to Caesar's school, they're going to bow down to Caesar. That's what's going on. You be careful where you send those precious little minds. They get enough of Caesar's teaching in them, they'll be bowing down to Caesar. I want my children and grandchildren to bow down to the Lord of glory, Jesus Christ. Amen. He said here, you need to be teaching people, sharing it. I'm sharing it this morning. Amen. Oh, that's not biblical, preacher. Oh, I could back everything I just told you up straight from this King James Bible.
Amen.
Amen. I ain't out of bounds. That's not good grammar, but it's good theology.
Amen.
Well, let's finish up here. We have baptism. We'll come back to this. But I do want to finish up verse chapter 5 here. He said, for the time when you ought to be teachers. Now, can I encourage some of you out here today? And I meant what I said. I thank God for Fellowship Baptist Church. Folks, listen. There's folks who couldn't take preaching like I've given you this morning. This is just soft. This is soft right here. Don't you think this is hard preaching? This is soft. You want to hear some hard preaching? You want to hear some tough stuff? You read the messages of the Lord Jesus Christ. You get in there and see what old John the Baptist said about laying an axe to the root. I'm going to tell you right now, that's the real stuff. This right here is just soft. But it's real. And it's the Word, and we need it. And he said, we've got to start teaching people. Well, I'm not going to say a whole lot. I just seen yesterday where someone said, well, I normally don't say anything about politics, but well, why not? The world's dying and going to hell. Our country's going to hell on a jet ski. It's time somebody said something about something, amen.
Amen.
Don't you let them silence you now. We're not gonna turn this into a hoopla session or something every Sunday, but there's just a time, brethren. I'm telling you, this is getting real. It's getting real. It's time for God's people to stand up and be counted. It's time for the redeemed of the Lord to say so. He says, so you be a teacher now. You take what you've learned from God's Word and you share it with other people. Tomorrow, God's going to give you an opportunity to do that. He is. You're going to cross paths with someone. Maybe in your yard as you're mowing the lawn and they're mowing their lawn. It may be as you're out taking your walk. It may be as you're in a place of business or you're getting your hair cut. Maybe as you're out eating and someone comes to serve your table. I don't know what it'll be, but I will guarantee you this. God is going to put you in a teacher's position tomorrow. Will you teach? Teach them. Teach them what you know about the one true and living God and the only way to heaven and the only hope for the soul of man. Teach them. He said, you have need that one teach you. And here's the word. And I'm going to close right here. Again. We'll come back to this. Again. You know, that word keeps coming up. I challenge you to read through this. That word again is the key that unlocks these scriptures. Somebody just has to keep telling some folks, well, now, you know, you ought to come to church. You're not ready to teach anybody. These are the first principles. This is elementary stuff. You have to keep being reminded that you ought to be in church on a Sunday night and you're a Christian. Somebody has to tell you to be at prayer meeting and you're a Christian. Somebody has to tell you now you ought to tithe. You've been saved and you've been taught what the Bible says, and somebody has to constantly remind you that the tithe belongs to the Lord, that you ought to give of the first fruit of your increase. Oh, I'm not under law. Yeah, I know, that's why you ought to be given more than a tenth. You're under grace.
Amen.
Can I tell you, grace goes far further than law.
Amen.
Love goes way beyond law.
Amen.
We shouldn't have to be being told these things over and over again. Don't forget to read your Bible now. Tomorrow starts a new week. Don't forget. Listen, I'm not minimizing this. I'm just saying that how are we going to be teachers? How are we going to reach a world for Jesus if we have to keep being reminded of the elementary things? This was the apostles' position here. He said, look, You ought to be teaching. You ought to be instilling in others what's been instilled in you, but instead you have to keep being reminded of the elementary things. Wednesday night's church night. We're having a revival meeting. Be here every night. Right? Get you some tracts and tell people about Jesus. Listen, these things ought to be our second nature after we grow. What did Paul say in 1 Timothy 4? Exercise thyself rather unto godliness. You just begin to put into practice. Put into practice. I hope you'll come next Sunday morning and we'll finish this text up. Listen, there's some great truths in here. All right, there's some great truths about what we as a body of believers, a difference we can make when we view ourselves and position ourselves as teachers. You say, preacher, I don't know a whole lot. That's all right. Teach them what you do know. Teach them what you know. Let's stand to our feet. Those of you that are being baptized, we have baptismal service today. Got four folks being baptized. Thank God for that. You go ahead and get ready for baptism. You know, there was a time I was a teacher, and this is what I taught people. I was on the road to Damascus. That wasn't the actual, but that's what I would teach people. I would just tell them what Jesus did for me. Jesus convicted me of my sin and showed me that he loved me and how I could be saved, and I trusted him as my personal Savior. I didn't know much more than that, but I told everybody that I came in contact with. It got to the place where people would try to avoid me. Some folks still do. Amen. Try to avoid me because they knew, oh no, here he comes. I got locked out of my own mother's house one time. I'm not saying this so you'll feel sorry for me. I don't want you to feel sorry for me. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. Amen. I'm one of the happiest people you'll ever meet. Got locked down on my mother's house one time. I went up this day back in the day of pay phones. I went up to the pay phone. I called and she answered and it made her feel really bad. I said, Mama? She said, yeah, Dale. I said, yeah. I said, why didn't you come to the door? She said, Dale, I'm sorry. She said, but every time you come over here, you just preach to us. She said, we don't want to hear that all the time. I bet I know what you done, preacher. You quit telling them, didn't you? Never. Never. Now, I grew and I learned there's a time and there's a way. See, I was a young Christian. I'd go and, I'd open up with both barrels. Amen. I'd just tell them. That's all I knew. I was a babe. But as God grew me, gave me more information, he taught me and I became a teacher of some different things. I learned to speak the truth in love. And I want to encourage you to do that. All right, let's bow our heads together. Speak the truth in love. Be a teacher. God, speak to your heart this morning as the pianist begins to play.